I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. You know, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming back to the Monterey Fairgrounds October 21st and 22nd. Get on the email list of the rhodapsychicfair.com so you can be notified of ongoing events throughout the year, as well as to get that heads up about our big event in October. In addition, you can visit the Facebook page for Good Vibrations Radio, as well as for Rhoda's Psychic Fair. Well, here we are, the end of another month. We are really just counting down the months in this fast racing year. So it's the 27th of April, and as you know, I like to do some readings from Day by Day with James Allen. Now, in 1903, James Allen wrote his book, As a Man Thinketh. It was taken from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." James Allen wanted each of us to know that our present reality is a direct outcome of our past thoughts and actions. Whatever habits and behaviors we built drove us to this present reality, but we are not destined for this present reality to become our future if we choose to change our thoughts, our habits, our actions, and our intentions. And we can do that every day. We have a new opportunity. And in Day by Day with James Allen, he broke his words are broken up into a little segment for each day of the month, so we can digest them in smaller segments. And for the 27th day of the month, he tells us, identify your vision. The vision that you glorify in your mind, the ideal that you enshrine in your heart, this you will build your life by, this you will become. All year, we've been telling you, have you taken a look at those habits, those patterns, those routines that you've built into your life that you've said, this is my life, this routine, this pattern? Do they still serve you? Are you still getting out of them what you need? Or are you ready in this year of the one to identify a new vision for your life, a new way of thinking, a new way of being, a new way of acting? The vision that you glorify in your mind, the ideal you enthrone in your heart, this you will build your life by, this you will become. When Thoreau said most men lead lives of quiet desperation, he really meant that it's because most of us don't dream. We don't have an objective to go for, a goal to look, to look to attain. I remember one time speaking with Marcy Shymoff, the author of, Happy Beyond All Reason. And one of the things she shared was her father in his retirement took up crocheting. And he was working on he took up hand stitching and he was working on a project. He finished it at age 75 and he began planning his next project, which was expected to take 5 years. Now, that's optimism. That's intention. That's a goal. That's something to create that future vision. So the point is, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, are you ready, especially still in the energy of our new moon, Are you ready to create your new future vision? And to help you with that, let's look at what the Daily Word says from Unity. They give us a nice little affirmation for each day to give us a positive thought to focus on. And it says, peace in the world begins with love in my heart. So essentially, wherever you feel dissatisfied, wherever you feel disgruntled, are you putting love in your heart? Are you actually creating that future vision with belief, with love, with hope? And remember, the future is yours to make today in each and every moment going forward. And with that said, let's go to our segment for today. Joyce Muse is an ordained minister who's been practicing the ancient art of astrology for many, many years. Now, she combines her extensive knowledge of the correlation of the planets and human cycles, coupled with her natural rapport, compassion, humor, and understanding of the challenges and opportunities of life. She shares her understanding with a wide variety of clients through Skype or personal phone calls. She also uses her tarot cards and psychic awareness to answer any question or concern. Not all astrologers are created equal, and Joyce will fulfill your highest expectations. So Joyce joins us on the fourth Thursday of each month, and we have a little opening music. So let's listen to that, and then we'll hear from Joyce and your lucky stars.
We are the travelers on the road. We are the travelers on the road, drinking the sunshine, bathing the moonlight, guided by starlight, warmed by the glow of the hearts of families, returning to their home, vanishing like the stars in the early morning dawn to Rome.
Well, welcome, Joyce.
Thank you, Solazar. How nice to hear that song.
Yeah, it's a lovely song. An original from Peter Muse, for those who are listening and don't know that.
Yeah. Well, the ancients called the planets the travelers. So he kind of based the song on the original five planets and the sun and the moon. So I love that song.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. So how are you doing, and how do we look going forward at the end of this very fast-moving year and month?
Well, we're still in a retrograde Mercury cycle, and it just seems like it's been a particularly tough one. Mercury stationed retrograde, when was that? Was it the 9th? Of April, the 9th of April, and it's going to turn direct on May 3rd. So I'm really looking forward to May 3rd. I mean, it just is one of those times when anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And not only is it retrograde Mercury, but Mercury is traveling with the planet Uranus. So Uranus is like the trickster of the planets. It's the surprise planet, sudden, unexpected events. So our Mercury, which rules how we think, our minds, how we communicate, is certainly what I would call afflicted right now. And Uranus and Mercury are going to kind of retrograde together for the next 2 weeks. So thank God Mercury will go direct on May 3rd, but it'll still be conjunct Uranus. So Mercury and Uranus together can make us tactless and blunt. It can make our thought processes speed it up, to the point of difficulty. Mercury Uranus can be innovative and inventive, but it's almost always associated with sudden and unexpected events. So anything can happen, which, you know, is kind of scary, you know, just because of circumstances that we find ourselves in right now. But that Mercury-Uranus conjunction is kind of the main thing going on. And until May 3rd, you know, it's really good to take things slow, to not get too far ahead of yourself, to, you know, stay grounded and in your body. Because the tendency is to get so speeded up that accidents can happen. So you don't want to take any falls unnecessarily or, you know, have fender benders or anything like that. Of course, we had the new moon yesterday, and the new moon and the sun are in Taurus. They're still in Taurus, and actually, they're not even void of course yet, even though the moon is way, let's see, right now the moon is still in Taurus. Oh, it goes void of course at 6:18. And then it moves into Gemini at 6:39. So we're kind of at the ending of that new moon in Taurus. But the moon is exalted or well aspected when it's in the sign of Taurus. So we've got that going for us, which is kind of a good thing. And also we've had this prolonged, well, the month of April, the planet Venus seems long. The planet Venus has been traveling backwards as well, retrograde. It's stationed direct on the 15th of April, and it's still in the final degrees of Pisces until tomorrow. And the problem with that is it's been making a square, which is an aspect of dynamic tension, with the planet of hard knocks, Saturn. So Venus has been squaring Saturn for most of the month. So, well, the second half of April. So that's really tough on relationships. You know, Venus and Pisces is usually, I think Venus is exalted in Pisces. So usually it's a good transit, but not when it's squaring Saturn. So, you know, relationships of all kinds can be affected by that. So here we are with those things going on. And what else? Let me look at where, okay, here we go. So, yeah, the moon's in the last degree of Taurus, which is a positive aspect to Venus, which is good. And Venus square Saturn will change tomorrow. So maybe a little bit of the pressure we've been under is going to lighten up tomorrow. So we're looking forward to that. But don't expect it to be kind of a peaceful, calm time because of that Mercury conjunct the planet Uranus.
Yeah.
So when planets are retrograde, which is they appear to be going backwards, from, you know, where we are on the planet Earth, looking up in the sky, like when two trains are going parallel on the same track and it appears that the slower moving one is going backwards. That's kind of what's happening with a lot of the planets. Jupiter is retrograde, Saturn is retrograde, Pluto is retrograde, Mercury is retrograde. So, you know, we're trying to push forward, but there's things kind of pulling us backwards. So whenever Mercury is retrograde, it's probably a good time to tie up loose ends, to complete projects, not to start something brand new. I mean, even little things. I mean, in my quest, my ever-present quest to get healthy, I started a water aerobics class on a retrograde Mercury. And I had the thought, well, maybe I should wait till May 3rd. No, that's stupid. Just go ahead and do it. You know, went in the pool the first day and got an ear infection.
Oh, so goodness.
It's like, I should have been a good astrologer and waited for Mercury to go direct. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait till May 3rd to start new projects.
Well, isn't it true that we tend to think that it really applies to the other person and not to ourselves?
Well, I wouldn't think, you know, exercising would be that important that retrograde Mercury would apply, but it did. The other big change we have coming up on Saturday is the nodes of the moon change signs.
Mm.
And they spend 18 months in a sign. So the last 18 months, the north node, which represents, you know, future growth and fulfillment, has been in the sign Virgo. And as of Saturday, it moves into the much more fun sign of Leo. So as, you know, everyone on the earth this affects, it's not just us, it's not just individuals, it's like the whole thrust of humanity is starting to head in a new direction beginning Saturday. And when I look back on the last 18 months with the North Node in critical, sometimes judgmental Virgo, it's been kind of a rough 18 months. With the 2016 election and having to put up with an idiot president, excuse my friends, but it's been a tough 18 months. And my hope with the North Node going into Leo is we start having more fun. We start being more creative. We stop being so bloody serious. And we start to be more lighthearted and childlike with the North Node in Leo. Well, the nodes travel in a pair, so the north node is direction to the future, and the exact opposite point, the south node, is kind of where we came from, what we worked on in the past. So we're leaving the south node in Pisces, which is the last sign of the zodiac, and the south node is moving into the sign of Aquarius, which is kind of, you know, humanity as a group. It's the sign of group energy. So Leo Aquarius is our new direction beginning Saturday and lasting for 18 months.
Hmm.
So I'm kind of hopeful about that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. But we have both feet firmly grounded in the sign Taurus right now. And, you know, to me, Taurus is always the sign of spring, the sign of flowers. Ferdinand the Bull in the meadow doesn't want to fight, wants to smell the flowers.
Yeah.
So that's a nice time of year. And then, you know, the closer planets to the sun, Mercury is in Aries, Mars is in Gemini, Venus is in Pisces. So Venus changing signs. That's happening tomorrow early in the morning here on the West Coast. So leaving Pisces, which is a wonderful sign and a very loving sign, but into Aries, which is more assertive and dynamic and has get up and go and isn't afraid to do battle when it needs to. So Venus in Aries might help us get off our butts and, you know, do what needs to be done. So I'm looking forward to that. And then we have May Day, the 1st of May, the merry month of May. That's always kind of a happy day in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my mother grew up with the name May, but she was baptized Marie. So when she married my father, Walter Day, she became May Day. She called herself Marie after she married. But her family called her May. So that was my mother, May Day. So I always liked the 1st of May, I think, of my mother.
Yeah.
So if we can make it to Wednesday, Mercury stations direct in the morning, and that will be a big relief. Maybe communications will improve. maybe secrets will be revealed, things like that. Communication becomes easier, transportation, equipment. Everything that Mercury rules, which is a lot of things, should start being a little bit easier. And then what else is important? Of course, the full moon on May 10th is the full moon in Scorpio, always intense. You know, I think I've told my story of my full moon party when the moon was in Scorpio and somebody caught their husband kissing another woman. Someone else had a heart attack. You know, it was just like all the things that full moon in Scorpio might rule, death, jealousy, you know, I can't remember what else is going on, but I swore I would never have a party on the full moon in Scorpio again. It was just so intense. And then Mother's Day, moon in Capricorn. So that's sun in Taurus, moon in Capricorn, a very earthy day to remember our mothers. And let's see what else. On May 20th, the sun goes into the playful, fun-loving side of Gemini. So that's always nice. And then we'll have our new moon in Gemini, May 25th. So the main things going on is Mercury. Mercury going retrograde. Mercury conjunct Uranus. I think that's the big deal right now. So what do you think? How do you think things are going?
Well, I think April has been, and I love April. It's my birth month, but I think it's been a horrific month. I think it's just had such intense energy. I shouldn't call it horrific, but it's really been pulling at everyone in all sorts of directions. And it looks like, just like you said, it's almost a gratitude that we're in Taurus. We have our sun and moon in Taurus now, as you said, but we're going into a month where it's allowing us to slow down, take stock, pay attention, and just go easy. And I think what the things that I know of for May are not traumatic. I mean, we still have our Pluto retrograde. We're going to be dealing with that for months. So that's underlying it. But I also find that, you know, Venus doesn't particularly like Aries. So I do think that people may find themselves being a little bit more direct than they might need to be in relationships. But other than that, I'm looking forward to, I feel that we're going into a grounding time, just as we were talking. So,
well, Venus may not like being in Aries, but it's sure an improvement over Venus square Saturn.
Absolutely.
You know, which we've been dealing with all of April. So I think it's going to be an improvement for the state of Venus. And even though it may be more pushy than Venus and Pisces, you know, we'll get more done, I think.
Yes.
I think it'll be easier to negotiate relationships, if you will.
Well, and as you know, I'm a big fan of Aries. I can't imagine why.
Well, as you know, I am too.
Yeah, I do know that. I do know that. And you taught me to appreciate Pisces.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
You did. But yeah, I think we're going into, what I'm hoping, and I even hear this from you, is that we're just going into this nice grounding time. People can take a breath, reassess. And I hope people will take the time to reassess, because that retrograde Pluto is not going to let up on us if we don't reassess. It may not push us now, but it's going to push us at some point in the future. And I think that's going to start coming up in June.
Yeah. Well, you know, Pluto is retrograde for half the year every year.
Yeah. But so, it seemed like this time it came at a time when everything else was going through their traumas.
Yeah. Well, it's not just Pluto. It's Pluto square Uranus.
Yeah.
And Jupiter opposing Uranus. So I think that's a big part of why 2017 has been so intense. You know, it's that constant tension between Pluto's desire to totally tear everything out by the roots and start over, and Uranus's desire to, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And you throw Jupiter in the mix. You know, usually Jupiter in Libra, you would think is a good thing, but not when it's opposing Uranus and squaring Pluto. It just amps it all up the more. It's not an easy transition.
Yeah, I was looking at the Jupiter square as one of those things. It's more like being smacked on the back of the hand versus being punched in the face. Because at the end of the day, Jupiter wants the best for us anyway. But still, it does amplify the energy of the other two planets in the square.
Well, yeah. Jupiter is making some interesting aspects to the chart of the USA. Like Jupiter in Libra is conjunct the USA's Saturn in Libra. And that's supposed to be the end of a karmic debt. A burden gets lifted. And transiting Jupiter is also squaring the Sun of the USA chart. So, you know, the USA has the Sun in Cancer square Saturn in Libra. So that Pluto-Uranus square, not just this year, last year too, you know, has been hitting the USA's chart, and now Jupiter's involved. So we're getting to find out what we're made of and how strong our democracy is. And in the USA chart, the progressed moon 2 months ago crossed the ascendant of the USA chart based on 4th of July, 1776 at 5:10 p.m. in Philadelphia, when our nation was born. So we're in a new cycle that just began 2 months ago. So, you know, a lot's going on. And an interesting aspect to the U.S. chart is May 1st and 2nd, transiting Mars, which is now in Gemini, is going to hit the USA's Uranus. So the USA's Uranus in Gemini is conjunct the seventh house cusp of other people, other nations. So Mars on that point can be volatile, and we really don't want to start a war. But at its best, it could be a major shakeup. Hoping impeachment, something like that. So that's interesting. To watch on the 1st and 2nd of May to see what kind of volatility there is and what happens. Now, during the election in 2016, I was kind of chagrined to note that transiting Neptune was on the USA's progressed sun, and it still is, and it'll continue to be. They're going to travel together for quite a while, which is the planet of chaos and confusion and subterfuge and deception and illusion. I mean, it's like all the stuff is being uncovered now. And as we talked about last month, you know, we're kind of seeing a repeat of the early 70s when Nixon had to resign or face impeachment. So I think we're coming up to a similar time where Trump's either going to have to resign or face impeachment. So I think that coincides with Neptune on the USA sun.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, the challenge I have with that when I look at it, when we look back and we look to where we are, is that right now we're at a place, in my opinion, where the administration has positioned themselves in a way to protect themselves. even with Nixon, there were fewer people in the administration that were willing to block what was coming forward. You know, there were some. There was John Mitchell, Attorney General, crooked as the day is long. But mm-hmm. in this administration, there's a wide swath of people that seem to be determined to protect the administration and justify it. I heard today bits and pieces of an NPR thing. I didn't hear the whole thing, but they were kind of reviewing the first 100 days. And there, uh-huh. there was one guy who actually said that, well, Trump has proven himself to be someone who's flexible and willing to change his mind, for instance. And he did this, for instance, on, it's going to escape me right now, but, oh, he changed his mind about doing the health care right now. He changed, and he said, so he's shown himself that he's willing to stick a finger to the establishment and change his mind when he needs to for practical reasons. And I thought, wait a minute, we're now changing the narrative to say he's actually sticking a finger to the people of the United States. And he's changing a narrative to justify what he wasn't able to get done. That's not the same as operating from a sense of integrity. And in hindsight, we now know that Nixon was really a rotten scoundrel, much more than came evident during Watergate. And
right.
And all I keep hoping with the revelations you're talking about is that people will be coming forward with real revelations. Otherwise, I'm afraid that this administration will do so much to bury it, it will be hard to dig it out.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Trump's chart is very interesting right now. His progress moon has been in Cancer for the last year and a half. And in 2 weeks, it'll move into Leo. Now, he's not, you know, for all his strong man kind of reputation, which probably comes from the fact he was born with Uranus on his sun, which makes people highly opinionated and think that they're always right. He's a Gemini with a Sagittarius moon. And those are both mutable, changeable signs. You know, he hasn't stuck up for anything.
Well, he doesn't stand.
He's always right.
He doesn't really stand for anything, and I think people miss that. He stands for nothing except him, like you said.
Right, and he just gives up as easy. If anything's tough, he just quits.
Here's what I think, Joan. I may be wrong. Is that I actually think he'll quit before we get around to impeaching him. I think he's going to have some reason to step down.
Yes. Well, there's an aspect of destiny hitting him right now because his progressed sun is at zero Virgo and the transiting node is at zero Virgo. So he is at a crossroad right now. Of course, Saturn's on his moon. Saturn's going to stay on his moon the whole year. He's having a Jupiter transit, a Jupiter return, but I still think, and he's having progressed Venus on Jupiter, so that's all the money he's carting away from the U.S. Treasury.
Yeah, our money.
Yeah, our money.
What a crook.
He's such a crook, and it's so obvious, and it's hard to believe that there are people that can't see it. But I think it'll be interesting when, you know, Venus changes signs and the node changes signs over the next few days. It seems like this Michael Flynn thing is getting really blown up right now. And I think that thing he did yesterday, putting the senators on a bus to the White House, and now they think it was just a photo op, you know. I mean, he's turning the Senate against him, even the Republicans. I mean, it's going to be hard for him to stay in power. In fact, how much power can he have? I mean, he can destroy a lot, but it doesn't look like he's getting anything he wants. So I think in 2 weeks, the moon will change signs, and maybe he'll be more inflexible. But for the next 2 weeks, he's still really mutable, changeable, all those mutable words. We'll see.
Yeah, I just keep hoping for the revelations to come forward. As you said, there's a group of people who didn't vote for him who now think they should have. There's a group of people
You're
who
kidding.
Voted. No, kid you not.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, there's apparently some former Hillary voters who actually think, oh, I wish I had voted for Trump. I think he's doing the right things. And so we're also at a crossroads of as a country, I believe, is this whole concept of fake news, because a lot of these people, Trump supporters and those who came over from other camps, are of a firm believer that what they hear negative about Trump is the fake news, and that what Trump says is the real news. And we've got a lot of damage in this country to come back from that perspective of the reason we have a schism is because there's two types of news being shared in the country. And some of it is just not true. So we'll see what happens. I think Bill O'Reilly being fired is a good thing. He'll land somewhere, but I think that's a good sign.
Yeah.
If that means Fox is looking to redo some of their image, that's a positive. Anything they can redo is a positive.
Yeah. Well, Trump seems to be an outgrowth of Fox News. And the thing that got to me today was hearing how the Russians are using the same tactics in France.
Yes, I know.
They're trying to get their right-wing candidate, I mean, who's openly taking money from them. I can't believe that they wouldn't learn from our mistake.
Well, they got no punishment. There was no consequence for what they did to us. None.
To them. Well,
yeah, they had no blowback. Yeah.
They didn't get their sanctions lifted, which was, I think, what they wanted.
I got to admit, that was the one thing that surprised me tremendously. You know, especially because of all the land rights that Exxon has to drill in Siberia that can't be done without lifting those sanctions. So I was astonished that they didn't do that. And I wonder if they were just doing that to protect themselves in the moment.
Well, I don't think they, because of all the Russian press, and I think Putin's given up too, they're not going to get what they wanted from Trump because he's so maligned by his dealings with Russia, his campaign's dealings with Russia. You know, and I'm sure it's going to come out that they've been supporting him financially for a number of years. That he's, you know, when nobody would loan him any money in the States in the 08 recession, they started, you know, giving him money or buying his apartments for much more than they were worth.
Yeah,
and that's still going on.
Yeah, Marie Le Pen is in France is actually so far worse than he is that should she be elected, it will really be a destruction of democracy in France.
I know. Well, don't you think that's the Russians' plan, is to get rid of every democracy it can, to destroy NATO and, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking that part. Yeah, I agree with you. Yes, the answer is yes. I thought when I looked back and I thought back, I was going through some stuff from Reagan, not a Reagan fan, but I'll share this. But he and Gorbachev made the SALT II agreements, which was the elimination of some of the strategic weapons. And as a part of that pact, the United States removed some weapons on the border of the Soviet Union at that time, which still existed. And then, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Poland came to the U.S. and wanted to be part of NATO, and we put strategic weapons in Poland. That was during Bill Clinton's time. And I was starting to think that maybe that, in hindsight, was a strategic mistake to put ballistic missiles in Poland. Because one of the things that has irritated Putin is having NATO missiles on his border.
Right.
And so in one sense, we may have irritated him, irritated his itch. We may not have caused his itch, but irritated it. And I think continued military posturing toward Putin is not good. So I agree with you. Tear down NATO, take it apart, destroy the participation in collaborative things. The European Union is actually a bulwark against Russian expansion. Break up the European Union and Russia can expand.
Right.
So there's so much going on. Yeah. But I don't know about you. I didn't want to live through these times.
Well, what's your alternative?
Well, I mean, I don't mean that I'm seeking an alternative now over living as much as, I mean, it's like we just seemed like we were coming out of the dark ages in some ways. We were coming back and we had inched at great cost. We had inched forward. And now almost in one fell swoop, the Renaissance is over. We're back in the dark ages.
It feels like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of just joining the Inquisition. At least they get paid well and fed.
Well, you know, in the darkest times, we need our bright light to keep us going.
I know, and I think we have a lot.
And isn't it two steps forward, one step back?
Well, that's what they say. But, you know, in the Seventh Awakening, they're always talking about we've left the age of limitation. We're in the age of limitlessness. So I think we've got to stop two steps back for every step forward.
Right.
You know, I want my limitless forward momentum.
But isn't it all a state of mind? I mean, there's reality and then there's meta-reality or metaphysics, right?
Yes.
I mean, all we can do is work on ourselves. And, you know, I think the good thing about Trump is we've gotten off the sofas and we're marching every Saturday for this or for that. And complacency is over because we're under threat. You know, I mean, it's bad that we have to go through this, but we have been complacent. You know, we had taken our good fortune for granted. So, you know, now we're being challenged and we have to step up to the plate and do our best to not let people like Donald Trump ruin our lives. You know, I think the most important thing is to reclaim our peace of mind and to look at this as the drama play that it is. You know, Paramahansa Yogananda used to talk about, you know, what we look at in our lives is really, you know, flickers of shadows and light. It's a movie. And we think it's so real, but is it? You know, how real is it? I mean, in, on one sense, you know, if you have cancer, that's very, very real. If you have Trump in the White House, it seems like it's really real, but maybe it's a movie. Maybe it's what we're doing for entertainment, to shake things up and make things more important. I don't know. I mean, I've been into metaphysics all of my adult life, and the only thing I can do is keep doing Ho'oponoponos. And, you know, I spent months just whacking and wailing away on Trump. You know, and now I'm trying to transcend him And, you know, look for the silver lining. Look for the opportunity, you know, because even in the worst of times, there's good. There's good. There's got to be. Or what's the point? I mean, it seemed like, you know, things were really hard in the 60s and early 70s, and then they got better and people woke up and, you know, civil rights and the women's movement and all that brought us into new consciousness. And now we're confronted with darkness and destruction and what seems like unconsciousness. But isn't that the ups and downs of life? It's a roller coaster.
I agree. It appears to me that many people have forgotten the lessons of history. Plus, we don't really teach history anymore in schools. So people have forgotten the real lessons of history, the real reason we had a civil war, the real reason we had a struggle for civil rights, the real reasons that we had protests against Vietnam, the real reasons we lost a president because of essentially illegal acts and trying to do exactly what they're doing today of diminishing the power of the democratic process with the two parties. I mean, so people have forgotten all that because we got complacent. We enjoyed the new gadgets, the new life, the new technology. And so they've forgotten. So you're right. We're back to it. We're learning you and I are not learning the lessons again, but many people are learning the lessons because they didn't know them before. I mean, right. even the struggle for women's rights, which should have been a settled struggle. It's not quite the same, but on NPR last week, I was listening to the discussing this Arkansas issue of they wanted to do these multiple executions because their lethal drug was getting ready to expire.
Right.
And I shared with someone that just about every other caller would start with, well, I'm a Christian, but I believe in executions, or I'm a Christian and I worked in the prison system and I believe in these executions. And I was thinking to myself is, how can you start the phrase of I'm a Christian and I believe in putting people to death, because that's not what Christ would do. You can be a Christian. You can be a Christian, but you can't use that as a qualifier to the fact you believe in the death penalty. You believe in the death penalty for other reasons. You're allowed to believe in it if that's what you believe, but it's not because you're a Christian that you can still qualify it. And so where I was going to is that in this country, I think we've lost the ability to have a reasoned, rational thought process that justifies what we choose to make our beliefs. So it's okay if you kill people. I'm a Christian and I think it's okay, so you can do it. Well, those two things don't go together.
No.
And so I think it's the same way with women's rights. You can't say to me that you believe in life, but you don't, but you also believe in the death penalty, but you also think because you believe in life, you need to tell other people what to do with their life. That's also not Christian.
No.
You know, and that's why I believe in that same position, that choice is about allowing another person to make a choice for themselves. It's not telling you what to do.
Right.
And we have gotten where we've had settled issues. Roe v. Wade was huge. You remember that. It was huge. It was triumphant. It was really massive coming out of the Supreme Court to say a woman has a right to choose. This is about her rights. That was huge. And we've now seen a 40-year degradation of that right. They're trying to legislate against it now. They're trying to executive order against it. And they just put an automaton on the Supreme Court who's going to vote against it every time.
Right.
So like I said, I see these things as challenges, but I agree with you. We have to be hopeful. We have to be lights. We have to keep moving forward. But I go back to what James Ray said before he burned people up in his sweat lodge in Arizona. And he always said we needed to be informed, but not inundated. And the only issue is, where do you get your information from? Make sure it's a credible source, because there's plenty of fake news sites out there.
Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get on my soapbox, but.
Well, I think it was a big wake-up call when we found out how much the Russians influenced our democracy and our election. And even more is coming out. Even congressional elections may have been hacked and undermined by the Russians. I mean, to me, the Russian threat is the biggest threat in our current situation.
Well, go ahead.
They're spreading the downfall of democracy.
Yes. Well, the interesting thing is, I don't know if you heard this. I heard this from several news sources, that it turns out the Russians are providing weapons to the Taliban in Afghanistan. And it brought me back to when we were providing weapons to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan when the Soviet Union was in there. So they're really repaying that favor to us by arming the Taliban against us.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's very clear that Putin has an axe to grind with the United States. I understand that. And he's intending to go forward with that. He's not going to stop.
No.
And people forget that the last year's Russian involvement was actually an attack on us.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're in a new kind of war, you know, it's a cyber war.
Yeah, it's a massive war.
Not a cyber war for everybody, but it's certainly how, you know, Putin has interfered with our democracy. And something like 13 Russians that were involved in the whole election fiasco have died.
Yeah, quite a few.
13.
They're dropping like flies.
And, you know, do we really want Putin in charge of our country? I mean, what did Trump say? We think we're so innocent? Yeah, I don't think we kill people with the exception of the occasional president. You know, we don't just kill our enemies just because they speak against us. At least as far as I know. You know, I just think this is such a test of our democracy. Do we care to have a democratic country? Will we stand up and fight for our democracy? I think that's the main issue for me right now. You know, do I care enough to put some effort out, you know, to be part of the resistance? I mean, that's where I'm at right now.
And I guess,
you know,
that's where we'll have to ask everybody to consider for themselves. Are they just passive and willing to have people do to them? Or are they willing to be part of the solution?
Right.
You know, there's a lot going on right now in the country. And like you said, I think everybody needs to be informed. They need to not be inundated. They need not to be overwhelmed, but they need to stay hopeful and engaged. And just like you're saying, I tend to be more engaged now, but I also tend to be less inundated than I used to be. Because if I'm too inundated, I can't handle it.
Well, you know, Uranus is going to leave the square to Pluto eventually. You know, it's not immediate. But it looks like, it's 2018, you know, exactly a year from now. You know, this bloody 7-year Uranus-Pluto square will be over in a year. And I've got to believe that things are going to get easier. You know, I mean, Pluto will still do it what it does, but it won't be doing it while it's battling Uranus. And, you know, the Uranus-Pluto square is a perfect metaphor for, do we want an authoritarian government, or do we want a land of the free? You know, do we want the public, the common people, to have the power, or do we want to give it to someone like Trump or Le Pen or Putin, you know, and have a Plutonian authoritarian dictatorship? So we have one more year of this very difficult Uranus-Pluto square. So that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can survive a year, can't we, Solazar?
Oh, I believe so, too. And I actually believe, I believe if some of these people who are blinded by their own belief structure and belief system would, within that time, I hope that they'll see what's being taken from them, not what they think they're getting out of it. Because they're not getting anything, they're losing a lot. And so I hope they'll see that, because that would help us rebuild a country really designed, to, as you said, be for the people, of the people, for the people.
By the people, of the people, and for the people.
Right.
So help me God.
Well, Joyce, thank you. How can people get in touch with you to find out what's going on in their charts?
Well, I love to give readings on the phone, on Skype. I just did a reading from Australia. That was fun. And in person, too, if you're near Monterey. So my number is 831-236-6572. Or you can find me on Facebook at Pacific Astrology. So I post on there regularly, and it's fun to do astrology. I mean, it really gives you some help and some guidance, and to know what are the transits and how they're affecting you and when they're going to be over. The best thing of all. So 831-236-6572. Call me and you can ask me questions about astrology and about my services. And I really appreciate you, Solazar, having me on once a month.
Well, I truly appreciate you being here and sharing your time and conversation as well, and sharing all your wisdom. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Let's work together to change the world.
Oh, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Joyce. And Joyce will be back with us again next month, the fourth Thursday of the month. Don't forget to pay attention to that. I want to thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. Remember, take the information presented, take the lead in your life, and turn it into gold. We'll be back again Monday with Go With The Flow from Kirilani. Thank you for listening so much. Many blessings. Namaste.